Those of you who've been here throughout the day have heard me introduce these gentlemen several times, but I will with pleasure do so again. Okay, I'm going to take tochacha from our earlier session, and I'm going to begin by introducing Rabbi Binyamin Lau, who's married to his wife, Noah, and has six beautiful children. Rabbi Lau is the director of the Center for Judaism. He says his heart isn't important. He's probably right, but in any case, he's the head of Beit Morashan Yerushalayim and the rabbi of the Ramban Synagogue, and he lectures in many places in Eretz Yisrael, and he has his MA and PhD from Bar Ilan University. And as we saw really quite poignantly, very movingly at lunch, is a member of a very illustrious, very noble, quite remarkable family in Israel. On my right, Dr. Yoel Finkelman, who's married to Nava and has five beautiful children between the ages of 2 and 12. And they live in Beit Shemesh. He is an Ola, as is his wife. Dr. Finkelman teaches in Midrash at Lindenbaum and various other places and is the director of projects and research at Atid, which is a Jerusalem foundation that works to develop educational leadership. He has his PhD in Machshavat Yisrael and Jewish thought from Hebrew University in Jerusalem. When Rav Gilad comes, I will introduce him as well. He's just off for the moment. We are doing a panel here on Kivunim, on directions for religious Zionism, which has undergone a lot of volatility in the last number of years for a variety of reasons, which we'll touch upon. And I want to begin, as much of the day has somehow been organized or touched upon the thought of Rav Kook in many ways. Rav Kook saw secular Zionism as a mistake, but he still saw it as a basis that could be built upon and as an expression of a kind of new national renaissance, which was the beginning of redemption. Here's what Rav Kook says. He says, quote, "The people expend their spiritual power upon the land, and the land causes the people to realize their attribute of desiring divine life, complete in their construction." There's a kind of synthetic relationship where people work on the land, and somehow the land, in its own way, works on them, even if it's unwittingly, even if they're not aware of it. So I have three related questions here that we're going to begin with. First of all, the term religious Zionism has always been puzzling to me. I'm wondering if it's a stiraha baha, if it's a contradiction in terms. Is it possible to graft together what is an essentially historical, modern, nationalist movement with an age-old religious vision? How does that work? And what is the underlying point or goal of religious Zionism? After that, we'll talk more specifically about whether Zionism of any form is alive in Israel today, or as we've heard from so many quarters and so many journals and programs, that Israel is in quote-unquote a post-Zionist phase and the ideals of Zionism are not taught anymore, not upheld by many Israelis. And in retrospect, is his belief that secular Zionism could help fulfill a more spiritual vision, was it naive? Is it correct? Is there still a connection between secular Zionism and religious Zionism? So we'll just begin with the first question, and we'll turn it to Rav Lau. How do you see the tachlit, the purpose of religious Zionism, and can you take a movement which is essentially secular and nationalist and combine it with Yazidis?
It's a serious question, because I'm sure that everyone knows that Rav Kook never been a member in the Zionist movement. He refused to be, actually. He said that Zionist is so important that he wants to be part of the process. But he didn't declare himself as a Zionist. He tried to establish a new organization, called it Degel Yerushalayim, the flag of Jerusalem. And he didn't succeed to raise this new movement. And the Tzionut become the movement, and his son, Rav Tzvi Yehuda, become a member in the Tzionut movement. So this is historically a fact that we should know, because it have a strongly effect in the immediate present time about what happened to the Talmidim of Rav Tzvi Yehuda and their Talmidim, according the feeling of what Medinat Israel as a state, democracy state, did against some of the valid, etc. I start with that because Rav Kook wasn't alone in the world. If we remember the Mizrahi movement, the Mizrahi believed by be partners in the Tzionut movement. Rav Reines and others, and I think that the Tzionut Datit actually raised up in Chutz La'aretz with the idea that practically we need to be part of, practically. And they didn't speak about dreams of Reshit Tzmichat Geulateinu. They didn't speak about redemption. They spoke about life, about acts, about build the state, about build the society. And in their eyes, Rav Reines' eyes, the only way is to take a very serious movement, organization like the Tzionut, and be part of. Now, the ideology of the Tzionut, the truth is that it was, if we are follow Herzl dreams, was to build society, democracy, and keep the religious people inside the synagogues and separate between state and religion. This was Herzl's dream. And if we are looking to the map on the parties in Israel today, so I think that Herzl is between Meretz and Shinui, Zichrona Livracha. You know,
Or Shelo Livracha.
Livracha, we mevachim al hara kashem shemevachim al hatova. Okay, so Herzl wasn't many times in Israel I said to people in events that the picture that I have in my, you know, to the Vayu'enecha Ro'ot, that I'm looking to follow its steps, is not Herzl. Herzl is not my picture. I don't want to say that automatically the option is Rav Kook. But Herzl had a dream without the religious people inside it. And when we decide to build the religious Zionist movement, we brought to the world different dream. We are talking about combination, very problematically one, try to say Judaism with democracy in a state. It's, many people think that it will not happen, it will not work, and we see many dilemmas about that. Medina Yehudit Demokratit, it can't be, it's clash. If you are going with a Jewish state, you are not going with a democracy state, and we have so many examples why it can't be. And I believe that the idea of Medina shel Tzionut Datit, I don't want to say Tzionut Datit in the Medina. I want to say Medina shel Tzionut Datit. I'm a bit a megaloman thinking about the whole state follow the idea of Tzionut Datit. But I'm seriously believe that the idea of being Medina, state of Tzionut Datit, trying to take these two facts. First of all, you are deeply with the idea of Tzionut revolution, that the achrayut, the responsibility to bring the freedom to Israel is the hand of the people. This is the first act. And this is, if we follow Bialik poems, Bialik said that it will not follow the rabbis. We should rid off the rabbis and we will go like the ma'apilim. Against the law, we will go up to the mountain. This was Bialik dream and Herzl dream, and this is a mainly Tzionut dream, a secular dream, strongly, and we want to be part of that. We should say that. The second, or in the same time, we want to say that the values in Israel, we want to publish them to really to bring the message that Medina, without Jewish values deeply, with said Jewish justice, with every relationship between Gentiles and Jews, about we spoke before, about women rights, about human rights, about all these subjects according the Jewish modernity life. This is one of the central beliefs that we need to bring to Israel. If we will find the new generation in Israel, the secular Sioni, without any connection to Jewish values and tradition, we lost. We will not have future, clearly. If we will try to take the idea of Judaism with the old interpretation, without taking the power of the Tzionut movement, who said we need to take the achrayut, we need to take to do the steps and to move the nation to the future. Without that, the Jewish people will stay in the diaspora. And just by combining these two dreams, that usually are not going together, we need to do this Kilaim story and to bring something kosher to and many people in both sides, in the secular side and in the Haredi side, said it's joke. You cannot do that. And in Tirzu, Enzo Agada, we can use it from Herzl.
I'm entirely convinced that religious Zionism is not a contradiction in terms. And the way in which I know that is because I look around and I see a lot of religious Zionists. And that is pretty much as best proof I can get that religious Zionism is not a contradiction in terms, or maybe to be more precise, it's no more a contradiction in terms than any other historical, political, ideological movement, which is also fraught with, democracy is fraught with contradictions, right? In a democratic state, you could vote democracy out of existence. In a democratic state, non-democratic groups are allowed to thrive and are given freedom of expression. Any movement, if you push it far enough, has its internal contradictions and tensions. So the question is not whether or not religious Zionism has its internal contradictions and tensions. Of course it does, just like everything else. The question is, what are they, and how do you address them? And here I think, to some degree, the questions that religious Zionism are facing, the internal tensions, are the same as they have been for 100 and some odd years, and to some degree they're changing. One is, of course, the question of relationships between Orthodox and non-Orthodox Jews, which is, I think, what Professor Malamud was hinting at. You have a deep ambivalence. On the one hand, how can Orthodoxy acknowledge the legitimacy of a secular movement? On the other hand, how can a religious movement ignore the directions in which Am Yisrael has gone? So this is an age-old problem. There are age-old problems. Well, you want to create a Jewish state. How does halakha relate to, or how does halakha that has been developed in a largely in a galut situation with only very limited political autonomy, how does it deal with modern statehood and technology? That's an age-old problem. Some of the problems, I think, are less age-old and they're more immediate, and that has to do with the events of the last anywhere between 30 and, and 3 or 4 years. How much emphasis do we put on territory? How much emphasis do we put on consensus? How much emphasis how hard do we work to impose our religious values on people who do not share them? What tools do we have at our disposal to create what Rav Benny was alluding to, some kind of ongoing attachment on the part of secular Zionism to the Jewish tradition? Do we desire to convert them all to religious Zionism, or is that a pipe dream? Are we satisfied with secular Jewish culture that is richly attached to the Jewish tradition, albeit in a non-Orthodox or even non-religious way? Or is that also just so much of a of an ivut. What's the English word for ivut? A distortion of Judaism that it's not worth pursuing. Questions of a feeling of being persecuted by the secular establishment, whether those perceptions are justified or real. It seems to me that some of these questions are new. The question even of internal religious Zionism opposition to the state, which I think we're beginning to see develop. So I don't have articulated answers to any of these problems, but I think the question, again, is not, is religious Zionism a contradiction in terms? It's not because it exists, and it is because all movements do, and then we have to kind of pick apart the internal contradictions one at a time and see if we could try to address them. Maybe we'll get to at least some of them as we continue.
I'm just going to introduce Rav Yehuda Gilad now. Rav Gilad is married to Dina. He has three children. He is the Rav of Kibbutz Lavi and also the Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshivat Mala Gilboa, and he's going to also address this question.
I usually say that we have to try to distinguish in a very a strong and sharp way the difference between Zionism and religious Zionism. And I always, in order to illustrate this idea, I usually say that we have a problem, we, as the believer Jews, as Tzionim Datiim, we have a problem with the first sentence of the Declaration of the Independence of the State of Israel. Be'eret Israel kam ha'am ha'yudi. In the land of Israel, the Jewish people was established, was born. Wrong. Lo nachon. It's not true. Because as we know, the Jewish people was born in Yetziat Mitzrayim. When we went out from Mitzrayim, maybe in Matan Torah. But definitely not in Eretz Israel. And why it's so important to emphasize it? Because I think that this is one thing that can show in a very clear way the difference between us and all the nations all over the world. Because usually what is the way that nations were established? People are living in a piece of land for a while, for years, so they have common language and culture and interests, and then they became people, a nation, And ancient emperors knew if you want to destroy the nation, just take them out from the land, they will disappear. And it happened actually with all many ancient nations and peoples that are not exist anymore because they went to exile. But we survived without the land because lo be'eret Israel kam ha'am ha'yudi, because the first thing that made us as a nation, as a people, was the historical experience of Yetziat Mitzrayim, getting out from Egypt. And afterwards, this was maybe the first step of Am Yisrael. And then we received the Torah. We received the Torah in Sinai. And then the completion of the process was when we went into Eretz Israel. So, and therefore, we can understand this miracle that we survived 2,000 years without a land. And more than that, that after 2,000 years, we came back to the land of Israel. There is no precedent. There is no something even similar to it all over the world. And for me, for us, as a believer Jews, as someone that ma'amin, it's a miracle. We believe that this is Hashgachat Hashem, as we say. It's a Mreshit Simchat Gulatenu, beginning of redemption. And this is one point that I disagree with, maybe with the Chil Tzioni Chiloni, lo be'eret Israel kam ha'am ha'yudi. And maybe the other side, when I sing Hatikva, we know that liot am chofshi ba'artenu, to be a free people in our land, this is not the final destiny that we have. It's very important, liot am chofshi ba'artenu, to be a free people in our land, but this is not enough. Our dream is much farther. It's much higher. We believe that in Geulah, in full redemption, in Tikkun Olam Letakan Olam Malchut Shaddai, all the people over the world will recognize the kingdom of Hashem. So our dream, we are going together with the secular Tzionim, but we look differently when you look at the past, and we look differently when we look at our destiny in the future. And I think we cannot ignore it. Although, obviously, I strongly support the cooperation with the the Zionist movement, and basically, I think without the Zionist movement, we wouldn't have come to what we achieved. We have to admit that the Zionist movement was just later on a very small part of the Zionist, of the Mif'al HaTzioni, of all this great project. But in my eyes, today we have to try to redefine what is Zionut about. What is Zionut? What is Zionism nowadays? Because in the past I knew what does it mean to go, to come, to live in Eretz Israel. Okay, that's very important until now. But I'm speaking about people that are living in the state of Israel. Okay, what now? To build more settlements? I'm not sure. What are the main issues of what is Zionut nowadays? So maybe this can be the next project to see together people from both sides of the political map, the religious, the secular, the left and the right, and to redefine what is Zionut in our days. Just Shituf Hashem, just a name. In my eyes, I think in our eyes, maybe I don't think that we disagree about it, the social problems that we have, the social challenges that we have should be defined as a new Zionut. And this is can be a real bsorah, a real a positive, how do you say bsorah?
Message.
That because we can cooperate. There's no we can find a common denominator, a common ground to work together. How to improve Israeli society with justice, with ideas that came from our sources, from our tradition, etc. So, I think it is very important, and maybe we'll speak afterwards later, to try to build this kind of bridges within Israeli society and to redefine together what is the next stage of Zionut.
And from what I'm hearing, you're saying that you believe the religious Zionist community can be that bridge, can be that gesture between.
Should be, and can be if it actually will happen. Who knows? Because as we'll speak about it later, as I understand. But basically, I'm unfortunately, in the last 20 years or 30 years. Most of the people, most of the leaders of Zionut Atid concentrated in other issues,
right.
maybe very important, right. The issue of Eretz Israel. But I think today there is a new approach within the religious communities as well, right. Including many of the rabbis, of the leading rabbis of the religious Zionism.
I want to follow that up, and maybe I'm realizing that I think three Israeli panelists might be having a communication problem, because to a certain degree we may be communicating, we may be having a conversation that will be more coherent on the other side of the Atlantic than here. So I want to follow up Rav Gilad's comment by taking a step back and maybe trying to do a little bit of an introduction to at least what I see happening in religious Zionism, especially regarding the question of the way in which religious Zionism can be a bridge between the tradition and secular Zionism or cannot. The conventional wisdom, and I think the conventional wisdom in this case is largely correct, is that following the Six-Day War, religious Zionism began putting enormous amounts of emphasis on settling the territories and put enormous amounts of emphasis on high-level Torah study, particularly for men, and in yeshivot tichoniot, high school, yeshiva high schools, and in advanced yeshivot, in ulpanot and midrashot for women, many of them on the other side of the green line. And in part because you quoted Rav Kook about this kind of symbiotic or dialectical relationship between the land and the people, there was a kind of Hegelian assumption that history was kind of going to play itself out in a certain direction. And we can go off into the territories and we can go off over there and isolate ourselves. We don't actually have to be involved on an immediate day-to-day basis with the secular population, because the very movement of taking more land, of attaching the people to the land, will in a Kabbalistic or meta-historical way start to this process of collective tshuva. And that did not happen. What happened was that the community became increasingly sectarian and increasingly isolated. And the image which religious Zionism had, and which religious Zionism, I think, today continues to use, especially in North America, as a public relations and fundraising tool, as a bridge between the religious and secular population, began to collapse. This is a little bit of an aside, but when I first became deeply involved in Israeli culture, I was in the army, and I began reading Israeli newspapers. And week after week, day after day, there were nasty, vicious articles about Haredim, just horrible. And I was really taken aback. And over the course of the last 10 or 15 years, there's been a real switch. The religious writers for the Haaretz newspaper changed. Different people were involved. The literature section of Haaretz might include a study of Haredi fiction, might include a relatively sympathetic portrayal of the lives of women within the Haredi community. There's been a real switch. And I think that what happened was religious Zionism became secular Zionism's evil twin brother. Haredim used to be secular Zionism's evil twin brother, and now religious Zionists, after the Rabin assassination, with all the isolationism, religious Zionism became secular Zionism's evil twin brother, and the kind of other against which they define themselves and all this stuff. And there's a real loggerheads, which clearly came to the fore in the disengagement or the expulsion, and later in the events in Amona, the violent events between the army and settlers in Amona. And something switched, and something didn't switch. One thing that switched is that there is much, much more emphasis on going out into communities. The religious Zionist presence in the city of Tel Aviv has grown dramatically, both on the parts of people who, with an explicit evangelical focus, we want to convert them to Orthodoxy, and on the part of people who are just not really interested in that agenda at all. They just feel comfortable in Tel Aviv. The Gar'inim Taraniim, the seed communities in various outlying towns, have grown. Some of which, again, have a kind of paternalistic attitude. Well, we're going to come in here and we're going to establish new schools and we're going to teach your kids and we're going to change you and we're going to solve all your problems for you. And some with a very modest, the Yeshiva in Yerucham, which is doing fantastic work in a impoverished development town with minimal levels of paternalism, with an insistence, no, we will not establish separate schools for our kids. We will go into the existing schools. And we're going to make a difference in that fashion. And there's increasing religious Zionist presence in the secular news media, in the Ma'alef Film School, which has produced all kinds of things. The movie Ushpizin, which I'm sure many of you have seen, which isn't exactly religious Zionist, but there's a kind of renewed, you know, you can see a woman with a shaitel on the evening news, Sivan Rahav Meir, and you know, kind of get used to it. And some of that is very healthy and very exciting, and some of it is another version of the same paternalism. And I don't know where the border lies. You see examples of both, and that, I think, is the real tough question. You also see some lunatics, and the lunatics frighten me a lot. The Jews throwing stones at soldiers, the Jews wishing death to soldiers, difficult and painful things to hear. Yes, they're a tiny lunatic minority. Tiny lunatic minorities sometimes can do powerful things and sometimes can grow. Whether or not we can succeed in supporting the elements that are really integrating in a healthy and a good and a positive and respectful and a modest way, and whether or not we can succeed in overcoming much of the paternalism and the, you know, Hegelian metahistory, I think that's where the real dilemma lies in that direction.
Let's just pick up on that. I want to ask Rav Lau, because I know that you have written often, in fact, for many years, you've commented on this tension in religious Zionism between isolation and integration. And you've often commented on the need for the religious Zionist world not to separate itself off from the Israeli society and to try and integrate and even to try and have hashpa'ah, to have influence on the Israeli mainstream. And I'm wondering, in light of what Dr. Finkelman just said and how you see it now, whether you think that your vision has been adopted by the majority of religious Zionists, or do you feel that the major mindset is to remain a kind of mini-society sort of cut off from the rest of Israel?
I agree 100% with the picture that the Dr. Finkelman gave us about the whole process of the Tzionut Datit in Israel. And I want to continue with the, maybe with the next step that we are start doing it. We grew up, the whole Tzionut Datit in Israel, maybe in the world, with the slogan of Reshit Tzmichat Geulatenu, as Rav Yehuda Gilad mentioned, the first steps of the redemption. But it took us to separate from the majority society in Israel. This is the fact. The fact that the yeshuvim, that the ghettos that we built in with our dreams, we found ourselves alone. And the Reshut HaRabim, the main roads, the main neighborhoods in Eretz Israel, become lake from religious Zionists. The Haredi always build their own places. And I think that the next step that we need to, together, to work on, is Reshit Tzmichat Kehilateinu. To start working carefully by building the communities in Israel. Strange. Communities in Chutz La'aretz is obvious. Everyone has his own community. Sometimes we have dilemma between congregations, but you have, you identify yourself with the community. If you are religious, non-religious, no, never mind. You are a member. You are a member. It will cost you. And in the end, they will take care on you because you are a member. And I think I heard about the Beit in Toronto, how they build the responsibility to the whole area, and I think that the idea of take achrayut in the community area, not just talking about Klal Israel generally, but living in an area, neighborhood, regular city, in a radius of 1 kilometer, 2 kilometer. And look around you and try to meet the people. The secular, the traditional, the poor, the people who need you. And give them the feeling that you are there for them. You don't want to be just, you know, a chaos movement to change everyone to be religious. Yeah, if it well happened, so we'll deal with that. But so far, if we will be there, just be there, and open our synagogues and open ourselves to the needs of the people around, this will be tremendous change in the society in Israel. I think that the idea that we didn't have until now communities in Israel, it's just because we dreamt about Reshit Tzmichat Geulateinu. We spoke just about state. We spoke about the large picture. We spoke about the whole needs. And in the end, we look back and say, why such things happen that we lost the language between the groups? That kids cannot play together. If I have 2 minutes, I want to share with you a small story that happened to me about 10 years ago. I was a member in Bet Din, special Bet Din, to convert, Bet Din Legiyur, in the south, with the Rav Drukman Bedin. And there are special days when you bring couples who adopted babies and convert them. It's called Giyur Ktinim. You take the babies, but actually you bring the parents, the couples, and bring them inside the process of the Giyur to the baby. This is a regular act that happened in Israel. So one day of this special day, Giyur Ktinim, I was in the Beit Din, And I went out, maybe to toilet or something like this, and I saw in the hall a couple with a baby, and I saw that I knew the face of the woman there. So I stopped, and she looked on me, and I looked on her, and she was the first, and she said, "Benny?" And I looked and I say, "Anat." And she looked and, "What are you doing here?" She asked me. I know what she is doing here. So I point and I say, I'm here. I'm one of the Dayanim in the Bedin. And she stopped and starts crying, but whoa, crying from a deep of her soul. After a few minutes when she relaxed, she said, "You know that my husband, she showed me her husband, and she said, we are waiting for this baby many years. And thanks God we adopted him from Hungary or somewhere. And now we know that we need to go to the Beit Din and to lie. We know that we need to say that we will be religious and we will give. And I cannot sleep for weeks already because they never lie." Anat grew with me in the same neighborhood in Ramat Gan. In the 60s, we played together. We were neighbors. I knew that she is not religious, but Chagim, her father, came to our shul, and it was before the war, before 67, before I left Ramat Gan, before my brother left Ramat Gan, before Ramat Gan became empty of religious Zionists. And we grew together. And Anat and me found ourselves in two sides of the world in the Beit Din. And for me, it was a small example that we can return back and to find the faces of our neighbors. You know that the majority in Medinat Israel, I don't want to say 80%, 75%, I don't care, but the majority are not against the Torah and not against the tradition. They just keep few things less. And if we will be there, we will find the faces. If we will have the faces each other, we will be in a different position and a different relationship in the next stage of this dream of Reshit Smichat. And I hope, and I know that in a few minutes I need to end. So I know that two things I mentioned it already. I want to bring from Chutz Laaretz to Eretz Israel. First of all, it's Sunday. We need Sunday in Eretz Israel. Rav Yehuda was a parliament member, and it's a serious thing that it will change the Shabbat in Israel. It changes the relationship. It will change everything. But believe me, it's very a serious and important act. The second is communities. To build kehilot in Israel, not in a small closed villages, but in the main cities. To be a regular kehila, not dati, not ghetto kehila, but to live with the regular place and open ourselves quietly, without nerves, to the whole people around us.
I would like to ask Rav Gilad something about the sort of internal composition of the religious Zionist community, because it's something that you have actually spoken about publicly. You've spoken about the fact that there are two sort of different tendencies taking place in religious Zionist society. The first is a kind of split in ideologia and ideology and practice, where you have some religious Zionists kind of de facto what we call modern Orthodox here, although I think there's a difference, and the other that have actually adopted Haredi attitudes in terms of their halachic practice, their dress, their attitudes to secular study, and so on. You also have what you called kind of neo-Hasidic religious Zionists among religious youth, which is kind of a distinctly Israeli phenomenon, the idea of having religious Zionism and neo-Hasidism. And so what it sounds to me like what you're saying is that there's no one thing that you can call religious Zionism, but on the contrary, that there are kind of varied and sometimes opposing directions inside the movement. Would you say that that is a correct assessment? And could you comment on these different sort of oppositions?
First of all, I agree that today to speak about the religious Zionism as in general is something very, very difficult because it's a very, very dynamic and pluralistic community. The religious Zionism itself, I think it's one of the most interesting things actually happening within this community. As you mentioned, people know about the two main poles, the one side that is pushing to the right all the time, the Haredali, people that actually, from many, many points of view, adapted the Haredi approach. It's regarding, as you have said, to the secular studies, culture, status of women, a Yachasle approach to Gentiles, to the other in general, and in a way to the secular society as well, and maybe to the Medina, to the state itself. On the other hand, the modern Orthodox are much more emphasize these ideas of combination between the modern ideas and the commitment to what is Yahadut about. But I think it's not enough to speak about this kind of split. First of all, I have to say that I see a serious problem in this division because the left side, if we'll call it, of the modern Orthodox, sometimes people call them, people call them in Ivrit, dati light. You know what's dati light in Ivrit, again? Or diet dati, or dati lefamim, or dati v'chulei. There is a feeling, and sometimes I must admit that there is something behind it, that it's not because people really believe that this is the way of the Torah, just because people make compromises in their life, and in a way, it's not a real derech tzionidatit. Some people even will say that basically there are secular people that commit, that they do the mitzvot, but the spiritual world, the personality, they are not really dati. And unfortunately, I think we have to emphasize, we have to develop this kind of derech, of rabbanim, of mechanchim. They will emphasize that we have our own derech, that we believe it's not a compromise, we believe that it's a combination, it's the right way of what is the Torah about. And it's not so easy, because obviously our way is much more dangerous, if you can say it. And even more than that, you can speak today about maybe a third section. And unfortunately, I just aware about it in the last much few years or even months. There are more and more people that will say, and this is something very, very typical to the postmodernic world, Ani chiloni dati, or Ani dati chiloni. And I live in a contradictions, in stirot. And it's okay, they're living contradictions. And I am, on one hand, I am Shomer Mitzvot, but there are some things that I do not agree with, and therefore I just have Sharon, not because I disagree, just because lo matim li. Because זה לא אני, זה לא matim li, it's not me. I לא מתחבר לזה, I don't feel that I have to do it. And years in the past, people had to justify it and to bring any sort of ideologic structure in order to justify it. Today, you don't need it. You can say, זהו, זה אני. זה הבחירה, this is my choice. And I'm very worried about it because, you know, it's a part, there are contradictions, but I live with it and I live with it very nice. So this is maybe a third, very young section, but it's developing and very worrying, at least from my point of view. You have mentioned one more thing, that this is something that it's not belong to this split, and this I think it's basically it's a very positive thing, and I think this is regarding the renaissance of the Neo-Hasidut, that we can find it not just in the Haredali side, you can find it in many other yeshivot, in Otniel, in our yeshiva as well. This kind of emphasize issues, first of all, studying Hasidut, not just Sfat Emet as it was in the past, but it can, but obviously Reb Nachman and the Me'a Shiloach and the Tibot Shalom and other texts as well that deal with much more individual and emphasize on soul and pnimiyut, on inside things, not just intellectual, but more emotional, etc. I think basically it's something very positive. and we have to use it in a clever way, how to put, how to get the nudity to a new renaissance, that it will be more relevant to more and more people, and maybe this can be the answer to the first question about how to build and to strengthen the modern Orthodox way. But this is another issue by itself. As I've said, at the end of the day, I really believe, and I think all of us agreed, and basically you are very, very similar, I'm not sure how much we represent the mainstream in Tzionut Datit, that we need a much more humble way and honest way to come to see people, not in a patronic way, and just building keilot, and just to be inclusive to more and more segments within Israeli society. But as I've said, we have to emphasize that this is a way of Torah. It's not a compromise, but this is ideal way of Torah in our belief.
I just want to pick up on something you said towards the end there, which I think is very significant. The idea of whether you're actually representative of sort of the mainstream of religious Zionism. I know that Dr. Finkelman has written about what he calls the religious Zionist right and the religious Zionist left, and obviously these terms, as he says, were not meant other than terms of convenience, that there's a lot of nuances, but it sounds to me that the majority of what you seem to be saying may be sort of more hard line in a way, more to the right. And I wonder if you could explain how you use those terms and whether you think Rabbi Gilad is correct, that in fact this might be a minority.
Yeah, I'm absolutely convinced that Rabbi Gilad is correct and that a more balanced panel on religious Zionism would include not three people who more or less identify with the center-left of religious Zionism, but would include followers of Rav Tau, followers of Rav Drukman, followers of Noar HaGvaot, the youth of the hills who are alienated. I want to try to touch on that by actually responding to what Rav Benny just said. He talked about the importance of building communities and being a part, and I want to reflect on how hard that is. Meaning, I believe in it, and I agree with Rav Benny, and I continue to live in my isolated, religious Zionist, middle class, largely English-speaking community, and I send my children to, if not radically elite, but largely homogeneous schools, and I ease my conscience a little bit because many of my nieces and nephews are living in Kiryat Shmona and Netivot and doing the kinds of things that ideologically I'm committed to, and in practice I'm frightened of, or don't have the guts to do, because I want my children to get an elite education, and there are kids who I don't want them playing with, and as much as I'm ideologically committed to it, it's really hard, and in that sense, we are not representative because for some of those reasons, magnified to the communal level, the overwhelming, well, okay, now let me tweak the categories of religious right and religious left, which I originally spoke about as kind of a religious right that is isolated and irrelevant and it's isolationist and Haredi-oriented and often its own, you know, enclave communities, and a religious Zionist left that is so involved that it is not prepared to draw boundaries, and therefore is small, doesn't have a clear identity. And in fact, I think things are a lot more complicated. If I was rewriting that article, I would state it somewhat differently, and I think things have also changed in the 7 or 8 years since I wrote that. Number one, there is this enormous middle ground that isn't particularly ideologically self-conscious. Middle-class religious Zionists that Asher Cohen has studied and written quite a bit about, who are largely plain old Israelis who go to shul on Shabbat and keep kosher and send their kids to religious schools. And they're important because they may, Asher Cohen claims that numerically they're really a large majority. I'm not convinced he's right, but certainly ideologically, certainly in terms of the educational system and the ideological system, they're a small minority. They're not working in the school system. The people working in the school system are the ideologically committed, whether on the more isolationist or more open-minded side of the fence. So there's that middle ground. And again, there's this post-disengagement and aspects of the religious Zionist isolationist right that are beginning to break out of their isolation and go out into the community and be more involved.
Is that out of disappointment?
What's moved them out of isolation? I think it's remarkable because, you know, as the disengagement was happening, everybody was saying this is going to tear religious Zionism up from the inside and it's going to create a major crisis among the youth. And to some degree, I think that dark prophecy is true in some segments. And I think certainly the lunatic fringe is representative of some of that. And to some degree, there has been an enormous maturity. We've been beaten. We had this certain ideological commitment to territory, and we thought we could make a difference that way, and we've discovered that we were mistaken. And now we have to, the expression is lihitnachel balevavot, to settle not on the hills, but to settle in people's hearts. And I think that there's a real maturity there. And again, I'm not necessarily fond of some of the paternalism that comes with it, but there's a real maturity. There's a real sense of cheshbon nefesh, of tshuva, of repentance, of an awareness that a path that we thought was a good path has gone wrong, and we have to change directions, not merely with despair, but with tremendous idealism and tremendous energy, and also plenty of frustration and anger, but also idealism and energy. So there's also the phenomenon of the religious Zionist left, which I described then as being kind of irrelevant in its tininess. And yet, if you look at what's happening, Rav Gilad is interviewed on the radio, and if you look at the websites of Israel's major dailies, they all have a Yahadut section, which is largely a Judaism section, which is going to include interviews and commentaries, some by the religious Zionist left and some by the middle class, not ideologically committed, and there's the non-isolationist group has kind of begun to expand and drift, I think, a little bit more into the mainstream.
When you speak about the what you call the religious Zionist left, who would you be specifically speaking about, or how do we locate them?
How do we locate them? Right, certainly, I think Kibbutz Hadati is located. I think right there. Midrashot like Migdal Oz for women are there. Bruya, Midrashot Lindenbaum, where I teach. I think Professor Avi Ravitsky, he should be Zochet to a Refuah Shleima. A series of academics further to the left, academics like Avi Sagi. It's hard to kind of identify. The names probably don't mean all that much. But there's a community that's really dedicated in principle to the notion that there is not contradiction between Judaism and modern life. To my mind, sometimes that requires selling out a little bit some aspects.
I know that a number of these names are in the academic community. I mean, Avi Sagi, right, is a brilliant writer at Bar-Ilan. He's written many books and people associated with the Hartman Institute and so forth. I'm just wondering if there's a kind of elitist cut off from the Klal kind of feel to that.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I think that the answer in principle is yes, that the religious Zionist left is really elitist. I mean, I once heard somebody defend, this is touching on the feminism topic, so it's dangerous, but I once heard somebody defend Shira Chadasha by saying this is a halachic change that sprouted from the bottom. And I said, a halachic change that sprouted from the bottom based on scholarly articles by professors of Jewish studies at Tel Aviv University, that's not sprouting from the bottom. There was not a call from the masses to found Shira Chadasha. There was a call from a particular elite to found Shira Chadasha, which might be legitimate and good and whatever. But I think that the model that I kind of anticipated of, well, it's going to stay this tiny minority, I think there are some signs that it's spreading, that it's spreading to the daily newspapers and it's spreading to the, you know, to yeshivot like Otniel, which is a little hard to pin down, and yeshivat Siach, and a number of places where the conversation is very, very different than the isolationist conversation.
I asked Elio to be a bit chutzpedik, and you know, between 2 and 4 o'clock it's Schlafstunde the time, and I feel like in Schlafstunde now. That it's may I say it's boring, because we say the same. You know all the everything. You read everything. It's nothing new, nothing changed. And I want to ask you, if you have any a really serious question to put us, the panelists, to put in a different position, to fight about something, to wake up. It's unbelievable.
Let's go ahead.
Wait. I guess that means question period has begun.
I'm sitting here and I'm wondering, you know, it seems to me that there's it's a beautiful discussion and everything, but there's no mention of politics, of Knesset, of... So I was in Israel 3 years ago, and I was an official member of Meimad, and I don't know what happened to them. And is there any place for that?
I don't know either. I'll speak about it in a minute.
They've just been kicked out of the Labour Party, or if they have, or they're in the process, right?
Actually, there are news about...
you know, but my basic question is, what's all these visions, what's the... you know, what's the role of politics, and what's the what are the possibilities that are happening?
I will take the opportunity to few minutes to speak, and then I will leave you with the fire, because I need to leave. We should say clearly that Ziyonut Datit moved very strongly to the right side, and when we are talking Ziyonut Datit in Israel, we have nothing to speak about modern Orthodox. For example, we can raise beautiful schools with a strongly Tzioni identity, but without any right to give secular studies. Mean that we want to be a Kodesh studies, and secular studies is against our beliefs, but we are Tzioni. This is something very useful in Israel. Tzioni Dati, it's not just right and left. Of course, mainly the majority in Tzionut Datit are going to the right according to the politician. Of course, to say that we are from the central to the left, the majority, but massive number, and Rav Yehuda Gilad will speak about it in a minute, the majority are the orange color. It's not question. It's question if it's a strong orange or light orange, but it's orange. It's not question. If you are a student in high school, Yeshiva Ulpena, in religious Zionist, Bnei Akiva Yeshiva Ulpena, you must declare that you are to fight to Gush Katif. And if you are Chas v'Chalila not, you are not a really part of the society. This is the truth. If you are a member in Bnei Akiva, this is the ruach of Tzionut Datit. If we are talking about separation between boys and girls, the majority stand and say, we want to separate the movement. I'm talking about Bnei Akiva, of course, about Ezra, about the regular Tzionut Datit. This is Tzionut Datit today in Israel.
Is any effect of the Hitnatkut on that? Or
no,
still
it's
just
the Tzionut, the Hitnatkut, the disengagement, it's just a point of the whole process. Uh-huh. Of course, it's some people to the corners, but the map is clear that Chevre Tzirim, young Chevre, moved in the Ulpenot, in the Yeshivot, extremely to a strong places of religious life, changed a lot from their parents' home. Don't talk about the grandparents' home. And we should talk about that. This is not the mainstream religious Zionist Mizrahi movement. Mizrahi, it's like, you know, it's forbidden word in Israel. Mizrahi, who care about Mizrahi? We want to flag different flags in Israel. And this is something that we need to mention. When we are talking politician, Rav Yehuda Gilad will talk about the balance, that if you are trying to be, you know, Mafdal, the original, the traditional Mafdal, the Tilumi party, we say about Meimad Zichrona Livracha, Mafdal Zichrona Livracha. In the coming election, you will not have Mafdal anymore. This is something completely new. So we cannot sit and, you know, schmoozing about differences between left and left. The Tzionut Datit and Dr. Finkelman teaching in Lindenbaum, they try to find a way that Lindenbaum will be a central place in Israel, and it's not. They have a massive numbers of girls who are going to Midrashet Harova, to other places, are not accept Midrashet Lindenbaum. And this is something that need to mention here. So I want to say that you people, you are the original Mizrahi, and you should be proud with that. And when I'm talking about bring the Sunday and community, so I will end by bring yourself with the Sunday, with the community, and we will succeed together. Toda Rabba, and I'm in my way.
Half a sentence on the politicians with no attempt. With no attempt to be objective.
Hang on.
No attempt to be objective.
We're gonna keep going. I think by the end of the day, I'll be in trouble with every possible group in Toronto. That's what I've decided. I'm just gonna let Rav Gilad comment, and then we'll take more questions.
Okay. Okay, I just like to inform you about the political issues, the news in this arena. I just was interviewed in the radio about it. I'm not sure that I agree 100% with Rav Benny, because I think that in the last few years, since the Itnatkut, more and more people understand, as Dr. Fingerman said, that we have to find ourselves more closer to the cities and to the mainstream of Israeli society. And I think there is a maybe, I'll say it very carefully, maybe a sign of optimism about the news last week. I'm not sure that it's so a tragic event that the Mafdal is going to disappear. It was all the religious parties decided to unified the Mafdal, Echud HaLeumi, and the Moledet, but the new thing is that they decided that the main issue will be the first issue in the Matzah,
platform.
The first issue will be Chinuch, education. The second one will be Zehut Yehudit, Jewish identity. And the third one will be Eretz Yisrael, and it will be a Miflagai party that will be open to Chilonim as well, and try to include all the nuances within the religious Zionism. I will not say left and right, but from the center of the political map until the right, not the left side, because I don't think if there is, I'm not sure that there is a left anymore in the religious Zionism. I must tell you about myself, because not just because I changed my ideology, I think just pragmatically, the situation today is that we do not find a partner on the other side, and therefore I don't think that today there is a big disagreement about what we are going to do tomorrow, even within the political parties in general. And therefore, and I must tell you, I have changed. I believe today that we need to build something wide, a political power, a religious Zionist political power, because I've seen what happened with this crisis of the Shemitah, of the conversion. On the other side, the attempts of Sarat HaChinuch, the Ministry of Education, to cancel the Shirut HaLeumi of girls. If we are not exist as a power within the Knesset, it means that Shas will build the agenda, and all the things that we believe are very, very important for the Jewishness of the state will disappear. So, therefore, I'm not sure yet if it will succeed. This is a very, very new idea. It just happened. They just signed this agreement a few days ago. I was interviewed right now in the radio. If I believe that it can be, it will be in very us. They built a moetza, any sort of a group of professors and rabbis that they represent the nuances, the different colors within the religious Zionism, that they will appoint the Chabrei Knesset, the member of the Knesset, that every Tzioni Dati, or maybe even people that it's not religious, religious but identify himself with these ideas, will find someone in this list that will say, okay, I'm not happy with all the list, but I have my voice as someone that will be, my voice will be represented by someone. I think it's a sign of that can bring any sort of optimism, and the fact that it came from the parties itself, I think, can say something about the direction that if it will not succeed right now in the coming elections, maybe it will start a process that will succeed later on.
Here's the pessimistic and cynical side of the same news, though I did not read the news regarding this particular event, but I suspect, maybe this news changes it or maybe it doesn't, but my general sense is that regarding religious Zionism and politics, no attempt at objectivity here, the critical thing is how to save religious Zionism from its politicians. I suspect very, very strongly that the primary motivation for this was that the religious Zionist parties realized they were going to get creamed because of their infighting and bickering and inability to accomplish all kinds of things of significance. I desperately hope that something like this works.
Okay, so
I'll believe it when I see it.
We were just left hanging with regard to Anat HaBocha. And what did he say? She asked the question, is Tshuva Hechzirla? That's the question. So I understand one of the other panelists will pick up this missing piece so we can start breathing again. What do you tell Anat? Do you have to lie? Do you not have to lie?
What do you think? What Rav Menilau told her? I think that you can guess. It's coming into a different discussion about what does it mean giur and what does it mean giur ktanim, what is halacha demands. But I can't promise you without knowing the story that he didn't tell her that she had to lie and the baby was converted. So you can sleep b'sheket.
Are there any other questions? Come to the mic.
If you have a question, you should line up here because the mic is up at front. Go ahead.
Just wanted to ask you, just as you said, to kind of wake you up a little bit, partly because I'm a little confused. When you say Zionism, I'd like to know how you define it. Is it differentiated from any other form of nationalism? And if it isn't, I mean, for example, are we Ottawists if we're Canadian nationalists? Are we Washingtonists if we're American nationalists? Is today, in this day and age, is Zionism really a valid term? And if so, how do you define it, is really what I'm saying. And the second thing is, I know it may sound silly because we're using the term all the time, but I'm just interested to know how you would define Zionism, since we say religious Zionism. I think I understand what it means, but I just wanted to know how you would define it. The second thing is, we have a large secular family in Israel, virtually all secular, who've been there for years and years. And for the most part, their divide with the modern religious Zionists, the way I understand it, is that they cannot really identify not so much with the Yahadut component of things, but with the component that the Reshit Smichat Gulateinu, Geula, or chasing after the Geula component. Is it perhaps time for us to redefine our terms a little and to perhaps see our mission as the well-being of the state of Israel combined with Torah and mitzvahs? After all, you know, whatever happened to Kimecha Kimah Anachnu Lach? Is it all Mashiach? Or is there another?
I mean, I have to say, A, we spent the first 15 minutes talking about definitions of Zionism, and B, I think Rabbi Lau was trying to say that there's been a shift from Reshit Smichat Gulateinu to Reshit Smichat Kihilateinu, in which he tried to outline a picture, an ideology of moving away from a macro picture of like the entire state, every inch of land, into a more nuanced facts on the ground. We have to move into different communities and establish a non-coercive, non-paternal relationship to the Jews there and try and get involved in acts of education and projects in which there's not a hierarchy of we are better, you are worse, but rather we have something we'd like to share with you and we have something we want to absorb from you. So I think actually that was actually discussed.
The term Zionist per se may be a little outdated. Perhaps we should use another term because,
frankly, that's preposterous. Zionism is fantastically successful. Zionism, you know, broadly speaking, you can play with the nuances. But Zionism is that movement in modern Judaism that was dedicated to seeing the founding of a Jewish homeland slash nation state for the Jewish people in the state of Israel. So Zionism is alive and well and sitting in the United Nations.
I think that it is already established, is what I'm saying. So
okay,
what do we
so there it
now?
Is. That's a little bit like saying, you know, well, maybe the Toronto Maple Leafs is no longer a useful term because we already have a hockey team. Okay, we're Zionists. We're living in the state of Israel. What do you want?
Can't we call ourselves religious? Can't we call ourselves nationalists or Jewish nationalists? Do we have to?
Zionism is a nationalist
movement. I mean, and in some level, it ends up being semantic, perhaps. Okay. You know. Yeah. All right, I'm going to take one more question.
Does the left portion of religious Zionists were they against the disengagement? And now that we had the disengagement, how do you see it? Do you think it was in retrospect? That it was a good idea, seeing what's happening now from Gaza, you know, what's happening with Hamas. And therefore, depending on that, how does the left and the right, the left see the possible push for disengagement from Judea and Samaria?
Well, there's only two of you left. Yeah, go for it.
Basically, I think that there is, as I've said, there are more and more people that understand that maybe theoretically the idea that we have to split the land between us and the Palestinians is right, because there's no way that we can be Jewish and democratic state ruling 2.5 million under our regime without giving them rights. But still, as I said, because of what happened in the last few years, not just after the disengagement, the elections, the powers that Hamas took, more and more people, including myself, think it's a very bad idea to try to push right now to have any sort of this kind of agreement in Yehudah Veshomron, because of what we have seen, because there is no any pragmatic leadership in the other side. So I'm not saying it very happily, because I'm not sure what does it mean in 4 years' time, what will be the situation. We have to try to create any sort of stability to understand that right now there is no solution in the short term, and we have to try to show a way how to build a stability without trying to build any sort of illusion that we have a solution. This I can say just about myself and about many other people. There are still people in the left side that believe that maybe the other part, the second part of the Palestinian people, the Palestinian Authority with Abu Mazen, etc., they are more pragmatic, and with them you can get an agreement. I don't believe it that this is the situation.
We're gonna stop it right there. We're gonna thank you very much for coming. Thank these gentlemen. We're going to take a 5-minute break, and Rav Gilad will speak about Rav Cook, and Rav Neuwirth will be in the other room.